on page 27. In Ayyid Aleph, the Rebbe was explaining that very often, even a simple feeling of uneasiness that a person has, even if it's not particularly clear why he has that uneasiness, the person will try different ways to overcome that. Gives examples, some of the popular pastimes of eating or sleeping or having an extra drink or two. And in this way, that hargosha, that feeling, that unpleasant or sense of uneasiness retreats. And the Rebbe bemoans the fact that it retreats, because in truth, as we've been learning throughout, any emotion that a person experiences, he refers to as ahishotas Avraham shel haneshama. It's as if a limb of the neshama, of the soul, is reaching out and trying to make itself known. It's trying to communicate. In other words, your neshama is trying to make itself known. Is trying to express itself. And would it be properly cultivated? Would that feeling be properly developed, as we're going to talk about? So then, one would be able to move forward in life in a very positive and good way. However, because the person fails to recognize the potential of the neshama's effort to make itself known and revealed to the person, so the person drowns out the sound of the neshama with the louder noises of this world, drinking and sleeping indulging in other often forbidden things is a way of drowning out those little cries of the neshama. And he compares this is at the end of that we were up to last week, he compares this to the practice of the priests of Molech, that in that Avodah Zarah, where children would be burned, would be killed, so part of that ceremony was that there would be other priests of this Avodah Zarah that would be playing loudly upon drums and instruments so that the father wouldn't hear the crying of his son. Because if the father would hear the crying of his son, he would not be able to bear to go through with that ceremony. So too, the loud noises of this world, are unfortunately being used to drown out the crying of the neshama that is seeking to make itself, its presence known. So let's continue on the bottom of page 27. Right, after he just wrote those last six words, v'himin ha'polis nefolim shel ha'neshama, that the person unfortunately goes through many miscarriages with his own neshama, that his neshama is waiting to be brought into the world, is waiting to be born, and unfortunately it's miscarried. As a result of that, as a result of the drowning out of the sound of the neshama, there's this miscarriage that takes place. Therefore, I am proclaiming to each and every one of this chavra, of this group, have your daily stock. Be a person, become a person, and you can become a person that knows how to look at things. This is the Rebbe is going to explain, this is the greatest problem that we have. We simply don't stop and look at things. Moshe Rabbeinu stopped and he saw that there was a sneh, he saw that there was a bush that was on fire and that it wasn't being consumed. You and I would have never seen that because we would have already been on the next train. We wouldn't have stopped. We possibly wouldn't have stopped. The most important things in life, a person doesn't stop. We were talking a little about that last week. You just don't stop and look at it. And the beginning of Avodas Hashem is being a person that knows how to be mizbeinei, that knows how to look at something, that knows how to stop, that knows how to stop the film, and to be able to think about and to consider an event that's taking place or that has just taken place, and to be able to see it through the eyes of Kedusha. And when one does that, one finds the presence of Hashem. The Meshech Chochmah, Ramei Simcha, I've often mentioned this in Shul, that Ramei Simcha said that Teva, nature, really consists of Nisim, ritzufim, of an ongoing series of miracles, shenisragel ha'ayin liros, that the eye has become accustomed to seeing. There's the same way that really, teva, there's no such thing as nature. What nature means is that it's one miracle after another, but the film is moving so quickly and our eyes have become so accustomed to seeing things and taking it for granted that we never stop and notice each individual miracle that's taking place. We don't see the separate miracles. So the beginning of Avodas Hashem is to be a person that looks. And that's what he says. Have you a day le estakim? Become a person that knows how to look. And anything that it takes place within you or outside of you. You should know how to look at it, to be able to see it. Whatever is inside and whatever is outside. Vein histaklus raya al dover hanimsa bilvad. And the Rebbe explains, I don't mean only using your eyes, using your eyesight as a way to verify something that already exists, which is nishkan gresa chachma. Although that also means something. Just to be able to see, this is taka a tree, this is taka a flower. Not only to verify something that already exists, to bring a proof, a raya, that something already exists. Rak min leida shemay lidim umaytsiyim dover. There's a way of looking at things. Again, we're going to learn more about this. There's a way of looking at something in order to give birth to something that's deeper that's within it. There's a way. There's rak min leida shemay lidim umaytsiyim dover sheyilanu l'stakelba. That seeing something, looking at something with the eyes of Amuna, has the ability to draw out much more than you would have seen that other people see. And he's not talking about magic. He's talking about every person can do this. Tzuras ha'dover anu metziyim ha'lidim achetiyah tzuras nestakel, but we could actually draw out the real inner content of what this thing is, or what this person, who this person is that we're looking at, to the point that we'll be able to look and to see this true tzura, its true image. Omisha margish eza hagosha, but when a person has some sort of a feeling, some emotion, you also have to look. We don't stop and look. Right? So it doesn't mean to see something with your eyes that exists, but it means to be able to be mizbeinin, to think, to contemplate. To look at that hargosha, to try to look and see, what is this emotion? What is this feeling that I have? Where does this come from? What does it mean? Not only are there tiny little feelings that we lose, that we miss, like he was talking about, we learned last week, I mentioned a minute ago, where the neshama is reaching out a little bit to you because you have this sense of uneasiness, or you have a certain feeling of happiness, but you don't know why. So there are thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of things like this that you and I go through in life, that there was a little feeling of happiness that we didn't explore, we didn't look at, and therefore we couldn't cultivate and develop into something which would bring much greater simcha, right? We didn't develop into a greater level of simcha. Also, there have been certain things that have caused us to feel a little bit uneasiness, and we could have developed that feeling also as a way of returning to Hashem had we stopped and looked at it. But he says, so there are thousands of these little emotions that pass through our lives, v'nevdos, and they're lost. Why? It's supposed to be, because we just simply don't know how to look. We don't know how to stop that and to put it, to freeze that thought, that feeling, and to be able to consider it and look at it. Rakam, not only that, but also next page, gam mitzvahs shleimus ayveres by kilumas shabo. There are even great mitzvahs, great mitzvahs that pass us by, and because we don't know how to look at things. They come as quickly as they leave as quickly as they came. Hirgish ma bekirbo v'yevshaloy lesrakes ulitzayev ladas ma hirgish. A person feels something within him, but he's not able to concentrate and to be able to be mitzayev, to envision and to know what is that feeling. But you know that tzaddik lives with every single minute of each day, focusing on how this minute is different than the minute before. All right, we're not able to do that because we don't understand how each day is divided into its hours, and the hours into the moments, and the moments into the seconds. And meaning in terms of what the avoid is of that specific second, because there's never been the same avoid since the creation of the world. The tzaddik is focused on that. That's why when the Baal Tanya was in prison, when the Baal Tanya was in a dungeon and there were no windows, and when they would come in, he would know exactly what time it was. As he told, he was standing in Thousand Tefillin when they came to see him, and they asked him, "What makes you think it's the morning?" And he said exactly what time it was. Whatever it was, like he said, it's 6:21. And they couldn't understand, since he was in a dungeon for quite some time, and there's no way to keep track of time. So the Baal Tanya said that because he knows by the different songs and the shifts of the malachim what time it is. Well, there's no problem. But to the second he knew what time. You could set your watch by the Baal Tanya's hargosha, his sense of what was happening in the universe, because every moment has its own personality. But the problem is, so at least people like us, we can't understand the seconds, the moments. But he says that a Jew doesn't even know the difference between a feeling of Lel Yom Kippur, of Kol Nidrei Night, and a Rosh Hashanah, a Melel Pesach. Meaning, a person feels, let's say, he is inspired a little bit. You know, you hear Kol Nidrei, you feel a little bit inspired. Okay, I feel inspired when I hear Halach Ma'ani also. And it's the same thing, it's just, I'm feeling a little something, a tingle of the neshama. But a person, he says, doesn't even know the difference. What's the Yom Kippur feeling, and what's the same? To us, it feels like it's the same. A little bit of inspiration. We want to sing a niggun. Feel good about being Jewish. We're excited a little bit. But to be able to know and to be able to see and to differentiate between those feelings, to sort them out, and to develop them, that it should be a Yom Kippur-tika feeling, and that there should be a fully developed, a full term Pesach Dika feeling. These are things that we're simply not familiar with. Lachain Anu Masirim, therefore we are requesting, we are reminding each and every one of you, meaning speaking to the members of his Chabura, Lamei this Atzmach El Estakel. You have to teach yourself how to stop and to look. U'bechlal Tiyah Le'ish Shemachapes Es Hashem, and bechlal, you should become a person that's searching for Hashem. Bechol makom, in every place where you go in life, ula yimsa esakel mestater. Maybe in this place where you are right now, you will find God hiding. Maybe in this place you will find Him if you stop and you look, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Ves kedushas kevoidai, and you will find the holiness of His presence. Vekashu tevakshayu timseayu, eifo timseayu. Where will you find Him? Bechor within you, ubechol sri vasach, and all that surrounds you. I will attack lazu, but the Rebbe says, but in order to accomplish this, to be a person that is able to see, tzarech atal esrachik min amihirus. Listen to what he says. You have to distance yourself min amihirus. Harchek three times. Harchek, harchek. What does that mean? Mihirus. It's exactly what we're talking about. You have to distance yourself from being a person that's in a constant state of rushing. Even if it's not outside, even if you're not running. We're living, especially now, if the Rebbe would have seen he saw what was going to be. That the most destructive thing in our lives now is that we don't have this Yeshiva Das. We're constantly rushing. Outside and inside. When you see Tzaddikim, when you see an Emes Deket Tzaddik, you could see how he's not rushing. Even though there could be a lot of pressure, there's a mesinus, there's a certain patience and a certain quietness that he has. So he says, Sarachik Mnamahiras Harchik Harchik Harchik. It could be that nowadays when people would read it, they wouldn't want to waste time on reading all three, they'll just say read one. It takes too long. It's the same word. Kein Hamohir Mizboine. The one who is in a rush, it's a rule that's clear. The one who is in a rush is not contemplating. He's just not thinking. Huh? 100% it can lead to all midas magunas. By not being a rush, you become a light. He's not. You're mixing up mihirus and zrizus of David. Zrizus is one of the most wonderful midas, and it's written up in the Mesillas Yesharim in a very beautiful way. He's not talking about zrizus, being a person of alacrity, that when you do something, you should do it with enthusiasm. You should do it in a way, they say that when Rav Nosson Breslover, they used to say that the Chassidim, when they would come to the mikveh, The same time as Reb Nosson, by the time they were taking off the coat, Reb Nosson was getting dressed already from the mikveh. That's how fast he was. He was getting dressed already. He was coming out of the mikveh. He was putting back while you were still unbuttoning. He was already in the mikveh and coming out. That's not mihirus. It's rizus. And there's a difference between these two midas, which he talks about a lot. The Rebbe talks about a lot in Chavis HaTalmidim. Zrizus does not mean you're in a state of turbulence and turmoil. Adarabba. It means when there is no obstruction to you doing something and is done with such yishuv adas that is able to proceed in an orderly, beautiful, mesudadika way, as opposed to a mehirus, which leads to behala, bewilderment. Right? Behala is the outcome of mehirus. The outcome of zrizus is just the opposite. Clarity, behirus. There's behola, behilus, and behirus. The outcome of mehirus is behilus, right? The outcome of being in a rush is that you become bewildered and confused, and you lose these thousands of things that you could have seen. The outcome of zrizus is not. Zrizus means precision. This is something we have to talk about more, but it's not. It's not. When a person is a Muslim, he's patient. It doesn't mean that he has to be lethargic. It doesn't mean he has to be slow in how he does things. He's referring more to a mehirus of a person who's not focused and not paying attention. He's simply moving from one thought to the next, one feeling to the next, and one place to the next. But the place is the last of the problem. It's within himself. He's never ever. There's never this mesinus. There's never hamtain. Wait. Take it easy. Stop. Think about this. Ein hamohir misboinein. The one who is rushing, he's not contemplating reality. He's not thinking. Well, he says, but he warns right afterwards. Aval gam hishomer benafshech shalei segiyeh b'mesinuscha ad ktsei gvula. Be careful not to go beyond the border of patience or of that quietness, leisiga ba'aslus v'aslus, because obviously the other end of that spectrum, if you're not able to move at all, if you get stuck, God forbid, getting stuck leads to laziness, getting stuck leads to depression, right? If you're stuck, and leitzonis, right? Leitzonis is best friends with depression. The people that laugh of simcha, simcha levai. Every one of us should be besimcha every day of our lives. But there's what's called the schaik, the laughter of, and if you look at Mishlei, the laughter of the ksil, the laugh of the fool. You hear that, you can go in any business or any workplace, you hear that cackling, that laughing, and the narishkeit, and that's not simcha. Bedoik, if you check, you will find that the biggest cacklers are the ones that take the most medication for depression. It's the dover yadua. That the biggest laugher is, therefore, you'll find people who are empty of thinking and of feeling, and my father said that he had, at work, when he had his business, there was a girl that, she was there for many years, despite the fact that my father caught her almost every day reaching into the cash register and other discrepancies and so on, but she was, of course, she did her job. My father said he never understood. He would say, my father doesn't joke. I don't recall my father ever joking. I mean, he's a happy person, but he doesn't joke. I never heard him say a joke or anything. So my father would say, good morning. Her name was Charlotte. I remember, good morning. She was, she starts laughing. My father says, he's with her for like 30 years. He never chopped. Like, what is it that she's laughing about? Anything that came up, my father says, I was a shite in the world, you know, like, this, what?
Jewish thing, the manuscript there.
Yeah, that I'm a shagaz. No, what is it? It's the schaikaksil, and people think that means. If nowadays, if someone sees a person that looks like they're thinking, they say, "Well, what are you so upset? Are you upset? You're so upset. Take it easy, huh? A penny for your thoughts." It gets people. People think that you're worried. You're worried about something. What's the matter? You're depressed. Why are you thinking? You're supposed to be laughing. Everybody's laughing. All the movie stars, all these shows, everybody's laughing. But those on and on until they take an overdose or jump off a building. But everybody's laughing, right? The schoik haksil. That's not simcha. That's not joy. Stam. That's the noise that we were talking about. That's the noise that we were talking about in the moshel that the Rebbe was talking about in the moshel on the last page. The moshel to drown out the neshama. That's not the joy of coming into contact with who you are. That's the attempt, that's the effort to make such a loud noise, right? The loudest one at the party, the loudest guy. That's an effort to drown out the neshama. That's not a simcha. It's because you have no simcha. It's because there's nothing in your life that gives you simcha that you have to drown it out with either loud music, or other loud noises, whether it's laughing or screaming or carrying on or joking. Those are all ways of drowning out the sound of the ben of the child who's mischanin, who's begging to be heard. That's all. But that's the opposite thing. So the Rebbe says you have to be careful. You have to be careful that there are two midas that you have to delicately balance: the mida of mesinus, of being patient and of being having a certain quiet, and that it shouldn't chalila descend into depression and despair. That's very dangerous. Lamoshal, listen how beautiful this is here. Lamoshal, atayoshe besuda hashlishes b'shabes v'cheves chasidim. You're sitting shalashudas Shabbos with the chevra of chasidim. Hayim ena tamargish mu'uma oz. He says, don't you feel anything? Hatzadikim omru, the tzadikim said, Sheshas shalashudas hi ashor shel yofesh ha'achas b'tshuva ma'asim toivim b'ilam hazeh mikol chaya ilam haba. You know, Chazal say that one hour of tshuva, being real in this world, is worth more than the entire world to come. And the tzaddikim said, what's that 1 hour? It's talking about shalosh shuvos. That's the sha'achas. That's the 1 hour of the week where you realize that this world is more precious than anything else. That's the sha'achas. From the kvoy kedushas chaisni harava kodesh etzal. From the Koznitzer. Shamati Shamagid Mikoznitz, his father-in-law's grandfather. Shamati Shamagid Mikoznitz Atzal Omar Bishalasudis Shahayu Babchinis Sadikim Yoishvim Batrasayim Bereshayim Venanim Zivashchina. He heard in the name of the Koznitz Shamagid that when the Sadikim, when a Jew sits Shalasudis, it's that quality that's going to be in the world to come. Of the tzaddikim who are sitting, vatraseim, v'rashayim, with their crowns, delighting in the presence of the Shechina. That's what the Koshin Samagat, that's how we describe Shalashudas. And my childhood memories of Shalashudas in the shul that I grew up in was two people yelling at each other because how come I bought schmaltz and pickled herring when I had Shalashudas, when I had Yahrzeit and you only bought the schmaltz and not being enough toothpicks in the Mizmer L'David, right? And I thought that I would lose my mind if my father would drag me to another one of those Shalashudas. So the Koshin Samagid said that it's the Bechina of Tzadikim, of the Tzadikim Yoshim, after saying, V'Hashayin, the Menenim is Ivashchina. It's Mamisha, Me'in Alam Haba. It's the biggest Me'in Alam Haba. It's that Sha'achas of this world. It's that one single hour of this world that you could come closest. Va'ata. Don't you feel anything, he said, during Shalashudas? You have an hour that is more precious than the entire world to come. It passes by. Not only that, America, in American schools, institutionally, Shalashudas was eliminated. Maybe it's back, I don't know if it's coming back into style a little bit. Shalashudas was eliminated instead. There's going to be a drosha, there'll be this. Mostly people sit around and schmooze, right? Or they go back home and dav marv at home, kiyadua. America took away Shalashudas. That the whole chiddush of the Baal Shem, that there should be chaburis of Jews sitting Shalashudas and to sit together and to be able to sing, and the way it used to be, the way my father described to me, because the that they had, you know, they would have candles and the lights would already be out, and they would sit there, what was a Shalashudas, and they would sit till 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm going to say Shabbos, right, and a Shabbos, and that was what a Shalashudas. So in America, instead, we're having a lecture on the Palestinian uprising, you know, during Shalashudas or something. We have Dr. So-and-so come. Dr. So-and-so, my father said that there's hardly a Rav anymore that the Darshan's where he is. Every week they're inviting it's a Dr. So-and-so that's speaking Shalashudas. My father goes, there's a small chaver that just has the herring and stuff, and they sit downstairs and they have Shalashudas. But everything now is Dr. So-and-so is going to lecture about this and that. Not that I have anything against any doctor lecturing. That's not the point. The point, I'm sure he has wonderful things to say, but that's not the point. The point is, Shalashudas was eliminated. Can you imagine? The Shah Achas, that the Shah Achas that's Yofa, that's beautiful, of this world. So in the Orthodox shuls, they said, we don't have to have Shalashudas. Instead, we're going to have a Dvar Torah, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. So the Rebbe is saying, that beautiful hour, he says, passes by, v'einata yodeya markisha, you don't know, you don't feel anything. Ubetach, he says, atzluscha mefata is chashuv, and certainly your laziness is being mefata you, it's seducing you. Umi yidam ala hamagid, what's it telling you, your laziness? Umi yidam ala hamagid l'shat tzadikim zal. In other words, when I'm telling this to you, how do you let Shalashudas go by every week without stopping and exploring those feelings that are there? So you're going to say, what are you saying, Rebbe? I'm not like the automatic cousin Samagid. Do I look like the cousin Samagid? The cousin Samagid said that the hour of Shalashudas is like a Mikol Chai Elam Haba. Shalashudas. I'm not the cousin Samagid. Kuli Chai. I don't even understand this mirrors. What am I, the cousin Samagid? The Rebbe says, I already told you that this answer, this way of responding is the response of the Eitz Sahara. It's childish, it's silly, it's just missing the point. Hashem is Baruch Malchus al-Bekol Mashal. The Malchus of Hashem is everywhere. The Kingdom of Hashem is everywhere. And if the tzaddikim were able to feel and to enjoy that kedusha of Hashem in the level that's called reisha, on the highest level, okay, we understand. They're able to experience something in its pristine, perfect way. After he says, you, meaning people like us, I'll call upon them as b'chinas akavim, akvayim, dakvayim, kedusha, targis, you can certainly feel at least not the reisha, but at least you would feel the heel. Each and every one of us can feel the ache of the heel of emotion, the bottom something. I will bet gam ata margish b'chos ha-shalashudas. Certainly, he says, certainly you also feel something inside of you in shalashudas. Gam libcho meichacha misnanim umizdazim mikol ram ha-galgal. Certainly your heart and your mind are also moving, and are also shaken by the sound of the galgal of the wheel. What wheel? Galgalei ha-merkava, the wheels of the chariot sh'ayvim derech nafshecha, that are passing by through your soul, the wheels of Hashem's chariot that are turning through your neshama, through your soul at the time of shalashudas. Rak she'ein ata yochel lisboinin listakel. You just you're a Jew, but the problem is you do not know how to stop and to think about it. Or later on, after you go home, to take that and to try to be Mrs. Boynan, to be Mistakel. You don't know how to do that. Vaharam Vaharash, therefore all of the thunder and lightning, the noise, Oivdim, are lost. They disappear. Ad shekemat le'seida shashem alokecha v'avachol kedai shevimah. Until you don't even know. You sit shalashudas. You get sit Shabbos, a whole Yom Kippur, a Shoshana, and you don't even know, you don't even sense that the Holy One is coming, Hashem is coming, Hashem has arrived. Kol is tzarech l'stakel kefi matzavo. That's why the beginning of being an Oyvid Hashem, the beginning is to become a mistakel, someone that knows how to look. V'histaklus pshuta b'sholosudas. I'm going to give you an example, he says, of a certain, I'm going to give you an exercise, an example. You see, you don't find any other Svarim to do this. There are certain Yisaitis that are found in Svarim, but then you're on your own. Right? The Rebbe was such a mechanech, was such an educator, that throughout his Svarim, he'll always, and the Chavis HaTalmidim everywhere, he says, for instance, he gives a sampling of a Piazetzna, histaklus. I'm sure it's only the edge of one, but he gives an example. And he can be sure that whenever he has these things, he has some long ones. Nachshavos Avreichim, in his amazing sefer on Chumash Derech HaMelech, I mean, there are ones that go on and on for pages, examples of how he saw things. But here it's only a little taste, and he says like this: L'moshel hikach, for example, Avra lecha haShabbos. Shabbos has passed. Yom kula shel kedusha, day completely of kedusha. Min haShamayim kidshu ayischa. Shabbos, you know, the kedusha of Shabbos descends upon you. Yontif has to be something which is more coming from within oneself. Yontif is, the Jewish people are kaveya. We create, so to speak, the kedushas Yontif. But Shabbos is kviya v'kayima. Shabbos is a kedusha where there's a yerida of all the olamis, that all of the worlds descend into your life on Shabbos, even when you do nothing. Shabbos is the yerida of all the olamis. Shabbos means that just Shabbos happens. And you also were Mekadesh, page 29. You were also Mekadesh yourself. How? That's a bit before Shabbos, you already started to do that. You started to get ready. Yeah? And you spent a day when you weren't occupied with your job, with work. You weren't busy going window shopping and in walking through the streets looking at things. Listen to the person he's beginning with. You didn't get yourself into leitzonis, into narishkeit. It wasn't a kalus reish. You weren't silly. Yeshavta hispoidata beincha uvenkoincha. You sat and you were alone. You were able to have time for his baidus between yourself and the one who made you and Hashem. Or yachadim chaverech, or together you spent time Shabbos together with friends, asakti b'toyra, learning Torah, b'siach shel kedusha v'chsidus, having discussions of kedusha, chsidus, talking of saying Torah to each other, vertloch and so on, stories. You're getting a little bit of a picture of Polish chsidus before the milchama. Kavastes atzmecha mikol avak. You have laundered, right? You have rinsed away any little dust, any stain, that became part of you during the 6 days of the week. And you tried on Shabbos to come back to your soul, that you had abandoned and distanced yourself from throughout the week. In every single hour of Shabbos, you felt yourself rising from one level to another. Until finally, you're coming to the great, to the climax of all of Shabbos, to the pnimius of all Shabbos. That was just called Raiva de Raivin, desire of desire, the highest Madrega. Miraim Kitza Shal Shabbos, the apex, the highest point of all Shabbos. Raiva the Raiva. Suda Shehimi Shalas Suudas. The Suda that encompasses within it the Kedusha of all three Suudas, of the whole Shabbos. So, even though it's just one last Suda, Aval Margish Ata Shakvaina Mokim Vamatsav Ata Lizboy Vabosav Adagim. You feel by this point, how's it possible for you to just want to fresh, to be satiated by what? By some more meat and some more fish. That's not what you want. You have to have something to eat, but that's not what you're looking for, Shalashudas. That's not what you're hungry for. Rakla Chape says Akel Mistati Bishafir Chevyon Vilizbay Miziva. All you want is to seek out the hidden God in his place of concealment and to become filled with his glory. V'yoyishev ata im chaverecha, Gamkin Mavakshe Pnei Hashem, and you sit with other Jews who are also Mavakshe Pnei Hashem, who are seeking Hashem. V'choshech Atem Yoishvim, and you sit in the darkness. Minhage Yisrael Torah Heim, every single custom of the Jewish people is the deepest Torah. So all the customs that we have to say this and to say Mizmor LaDavid, Yedid Nefesh, Askinus LaDasa, Askinus LaDasa, every single custom that we have is Mamish Torah. Kimat Imim Heim is Pu'ulas Aguf L'matzav HaNefesh Ba'is HaShok, because the purpose of every Jewish custom is to coordinate the body with where the nefesh, with where the soul is holding in that moment, in that hour. That's the purpose of every custom. Every single one of these mirrors, every tiny little custom that we have, is to bring about this coordination, to synchronize what's happening in the outside world and what's happening inside. Ki yesh choshech v'yesh choshech. There are different types of darkness. There's darkness and there's darkness. Eitzel Hashem is baruch kosov yosh yesh choshech sisrei. By Hashem, the darkness, when you sit in that darkness with Hashem, is the greatest light. Right? That which Hashem is concealed in darkness, that's the place of greatest light. Or Amiti, who is the truest light. Darkness is of this world. This world is darkness. But you and I, we think that Hashem, that's darkness, that's mystery, that I don't understand, that's someplace in a basement somewhere that I can't see. That's not true. What we look at is Hashem's darkness is the greatest light. This is this world. This world, with all of its voltage and wattage, this world with all of its powerful lights, is a place of darkness. So at this point, he says of Shalashudas, the lights are out of this world. Not that you should be frightened. Because in this time, when you reach already Shalashudas, you don't want to see the world anymore. The world no longer excites you. This world no longer interests you. The Kaven Shazeh Meisla Shalom Shatam Israchik Manilam Hazeh. It's already been a complete 24 hours, even more, since candlelighting, since even before you prepared, you made hachanis, if you're able to, you went, got to a mikveh, that you're making the hachanis, that already you're trying to distance yourself from this world. they met once, it's brought down in the sefer that they met an old lady. There was an old lady that she was yet by the Rebbe of Melech in Lezhensk, that she was by the Noam Elimelech. It's an old lady that she worked as a cleaning, a maid. And there was a Rebbe that was told that in this city where he was visiting, there was a woman that was over 100 years old that remembers the Noam Elimelech. So I forgot which tzaddik it was. He heard such a thing, got all excited, and he said, bring her here immediately, carry her on a chair. I have to talk to this. She saw the Noam Elimelech, Kleinigkeit. So they brought this old lady, and the tzaddik asked, "No, you saw the Noam Elimelech." He says, "Can you tell me something about it?" So she says, "You know, it's already 100 years ago. It's a long time, but I'll tell you one thing that I remember." She says that Erev Shabbos in Lezhensk, I never saw in my life a night of Kol Nidra like Erev Shabbos in Lezhensk. Erev Shabbos. She said that the Noam Elimelech used to go into the Beis Medrash, and they used to come in there, hundreds of people, to do tshuva before Shabbos on a Friday, crying and screaming. She says to do tshuva, to prepare for Shabbos, to clean, to get going, to become Shabbos, to get rid of the 6 days of the week. Can you imagine? You know, and then they weren't able to buy takeout. If you had a kugel, it's because you saw a potato. There was no cocoa without potatoes in those days. You ask a kid now, he says, what's a potato? He understands, you tell him a cocoa, you have a potato? I never saw a potato. The kids think that they have cocoa patches. But you go up to have certain places, you go upstate and they grow kugels. Right? A cake, it's a shiloh, an egg, a chicken, what? It's all something so they didn't have any of this. And the Noam Elimelech people, hundreds of Jews, hardworking people, go and tshuva. Toshev en l'shadaka, toshev as I see as Shabbos. Adaka, adigduka shel nefesh, to come to prepare for Shabbos. This old lady said that I remember what is an Erev Shabbos. I never saw in my life Yom Kippur, like was in Lezhensk, a regular Erev Shabbos. Stam an Erev Shabbos. So we don't have a hasogah with this. So he says that, for, so the whole Meis Leis, for 24 hours you're ready. Misrachik min olam. You're already pulling yourself out of this physical world. Umiskarav alta, and you're drawing yourself nearer. Psiya acha psiya, one step after another step. El bechinas raiva derive, and to come to that point of shalashudas, which is the time of desire of desire, of will of all wills, of rotzen sheba rotzen, raiva derive. Rotzen he'elyon, the highest rotzen. That moment that the Kuznets said was the Yofa Sha'achas, the most beautiful hour of the week. That hour when the Rebbeinu Shalom can see no wrong with a Jew, can see only you in terms of who you really are, that one hour, that Sha'achas. V'meichacha u'belibcha, in your mind and in your heart, af b'chushe guvchi, even physically, you can sense. Mukherach gam guvcha b'poyel mamish l'sheves b'choyzach, physically, you have to sit in a place where this world is dark. In other words, you're wondering, why is it that the Chassidim sit in Sholoshuda's darkness? They had enough technology at this time to have light during Sholoshuda's. Why do they sit in darkness? He says, because we're trying to, by this time, to have already withdrawn from the silliness of this world, from the obsession with things that we see with our eyes, to the point where the room is dark, where this world is dark, like you close your eyes when you say Kriya Shema. Why does a Jew close his eyes when he says a Kriya Shema? You close your eyes so you don't become fooled by this world. When you look at this world, you can't say a Kriya Shema with your eyes open, because as long as your eyes are focused on this world, you can't sincerely say Hashem Echad. Because when your eyes are open, it seems to you as if it's not one God. There are thousands and millions of gods. When a person closes his eyes and he doesn't look at this world, then he's able to. When a person goes into a mikveh, he's able to be apart from this world. Therefore, he says, you have to sit b'chayshach, that they sit in darkness at that time of Shalashudas. Gam libcha v'gam einecha l'yiru kvar oila, v'divr ha'ilam l'fneihem. Your heart and your eyes, at this point, they're no longer looking at the world and seeing the physical world. Hashem is stata b'choshech. Hashem is hiding in darkness. And now it's dark. So now you can be with Hashem. That's what it means that Hashem is mistata b'choshech. That Hashem is hiding in the darkness. V'acha chipus abedika. But most people don't want to look in dark places. There was that maisa that I told you, is a very famous maisa about one of Einstein's talmidim, Eddington. He was a brilliant, brilliant scientist. He was one of Einstein's biggest talmidim. So he was also he was a religious man. He wasn't Jewish, but he was a devout person. And he was supposed to deliver, it's a famous thing, he was supposed to deliver a lecture in some I don't remember which Catholic university. He was delivering a lecture. I have the facts mixed up. What university? Well, I don't remember. But he was supposed to deliver a lecture on the subject of science and religion. So I read that he got up and he said in front of the whole ilum, he said that I once said this over in shul. He said that there was once a fellow that lost something that was important. I guess he lost his car keys. So somebody's going in the street, and they see this guy. He's looking. There's a street lamp on the corner, and this fellow lost. This fellow's looking. He's looking all around, looking over there, and the nice guy that passes by stops and says, "Did you lost something?" So he says, "Yeah, I lost something." He said, "Then there's always that silly question: Did you lose it here, right?" So he says, "Did you lose it here?" So the man's answer is, "No, I didn't lose it here. Actually, I was playing with my kids in the backyard by my house. It's around 4 miles from here, and they fell out over there." So then why are you looking here? So he said, because this is the closest, this is the nearest lamp. This is the nearest light. So I'm looking here. It's a gewaltige Moschel. So he said that, Eddington said, you see, the problem is that scientists, they're convinced that they're going to find proofs of God in that discipline that they happen to be experts in, that they're studying. This is where God is, in what I do. And what I see, in other words, where the light is shining, that's where I want to find God, when in truth, God is really in your own backyard in the darkness. That's what he said. That's what you've lost. But people are afraid, well, I'm going to look in the darkness, I can't find anything in the darkness, so I might as well look, I'm going to look where there's light. Never mind, I'm going to look where it's dark, I'll never find anything there. But if I go someplace where it's light, that's this world. That's this world. Why do you find that people become so uneasy? If you're someone that's you, if you're interested in Ruchnius, if you're interested in Ruchnius, right? If you're a person, I'm talking about other Orthodox Jews, Orthodox people. That, man, that they're Shomer Shabbos, they'll make fun of you. They make fun of you. This, yeah, what is this? Oh, you go and you have some negunim. You can have some. You can have a niggun over there. What are you going to do? What makes them uneasy? What makes them uncomfortable? The answer is that the darkness makes them uncomfortable. The same way that they get very nervous if they have to go into a place that they never saw, and they go down some rickety steps, and they don't know what's there. They become nervous, and they start to say goofy things. So you'll find people who are Shomer Shabbos, officially the Shomer Shabbos. They send the kids to yeshiva. Yeah, what are you having? I remember somebody told me that there's this guy that he met at work that heard of it, that you had a lag b'ayim, and there was like three guys at work making cracks the whole day. Yeah, did Rabbi Shimon come there? You made a fire? Did you burn an effigy of the... You know, they were like cracks. Because he sat at home lag b'ayim at night and he watched Jeopardy, you know? Halavai, maybe it could have been worse. Hoping it was Jeopardy. He sat at home lag b'ayim at night when there are other Jews that are looking to connect to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He sat at home and he comes and he's making fun, he's laughing. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, lag b'ayim, what do you think? This is Tzvas, this is Meron. What's going to be when you're 120, my friend, and the lights are turned out, and you have to sit in darkness with the Baruch Shalom? Those Jews that were sitting over here in this world turning out the lights, in the world to come, they don't become nervous when the lights are turned out. Because when they're left with Hashem. But Jews who are uncomfortable or uneasy with any spirituality, it's because they're afraid of searching in darkness. They're afraid of that. There are other simpler explanations, but the pnimius is that they're afraid of the darkness. I know every single rookie of the year since 1942. So let's talk about baseball, right? Or if you go, if you sit with there's a chevra of doctors, so they'll talk about this guy, in room 202 and room 303, and they'll talk about this, and they'll talk about that. or they'll talk about the nurse in room 302 or 303, right? And so this is what they're familiar with. But if you say, listen, I want to talk to you about the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to talk to you about what's in the neshama. Whoa. Because you're taking a person and you're taking a person to that place of choshech, of darkness. But that's davka where Hashem is. So the Rebbe is saying that Shalashudas, when you come to that point of really honestly trying to come into contact with the Kelmestata, therefore it makes sense that he says we sit in darkness. Huh? If you're what?
If you're busy setting up for it.
Oh, you're setting up for it, right. It says that the world, you no longer see Hashem istata b'choshech. V'acha chippus u'bedikus u'bechol ha'shabes bosel ha'rafel. Finally, after searching and trying to strengthen yourself the whole Shabbos, you finally are able to come like Moshe Rabbeinu, who entered into a darkness. Look, the rest of Klai Yisrael couldn't go up into that darkness. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to enter into the cloud, right? The rest of us were just watching. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go. That's what it means to be a Jew. When the rest of the world is sitting, and all they want is the light that they could see of this world, Moshe Rabbeinu goes into the darkness, and he says that every Shalashudas, the Rebbe is saying, this is every Shalashudas, you're able to come to Madrega, where you're able to go into a place, Allah Rafael, Asher Shomer Elokim. But that's where God is, as it says in Chumash. Moshe entered into the cloud, and that's where Hashem is. Davka, what you don't understand, Davka the mystery, Davka what's unclear to you, Davka where you're a bit nervous and afraid, that's Davka where the Baruch Shalom is. You have sought and you have found that which your soul loves. You draw near to him and you melt in the presence of his holiness. The entire room. It could be some broken down little place, some place he's talking about, in Poland. And what? And the whole Pamal Yishamala Hashem is coming with all of the malachim and all of the chariots v'chulu into that room. And you push yourself. You push yourself through all these malachim and you try to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to connect to Hashem. Mishtakekes nafshecha lihikoneis lifnai v'lifnim. Your soul is filled with a longing to be able to go lift naiva lift them all the way in. V'lo ve'el ha'mokim es Hashem Elokim, to come to the place where there is Hashem. Achasti v'lo arpenu. I will take hold of him and I will refuse to let go. When a person has a shoulder shudus like this, you can understand how Jews didn't want to go away from Shabbos. You can understand how they weren't looking at their watches. You can understand how it wasn't. But that's not. When a person lives not for Shabbos, but he lives for Matzah Shabbos. When he lives for Matzah Shabbos, because Matzah Shabbos, the friends are getting together. We're going to have coffee and cake, and we're going to reminisce. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Or we'll live for Matzah Shabbos because there's a show, there's a movie, there's a theater. We'll live for Matzah Shabbos. So when you're living for that, that's not Motzei Shabbos. It's Saturday night. We have to be careful. There's a difference between Motzei Shabbos and Saturday night. It might take place at the same time, but it's not the same thing. Motzei Shabbos means Malav Malka. Motzei Shabbos means time to be able to spend its real also Motzei Shabbos. That's a whole different thing that America did away with. But that's not for now. But Achastiv L'Arapenu, I want to hold on to this and not to let go. When something was very special and was something that was very precious to you, so you don't want to let go. So you understand that when a person is looking at his watch, because you know it's a problem. The Shabbos was over 2.5 minutes ago. But, you know, I remember when I grew up that there would be a whole fleet of cars of the wives already coming to pick up the husbands. I used to joke with a guy. There was one old Jew that he used to make Avdolah. I'm telling you, it was before any Zman and any Luach. They used to rush downstairs, and they made a separate Marv and a Havdalah, and he used to make Havdalah before any Zman and any Luach. When after he used to say Havdalah, he used to always say, everybody would say good Vach, I would say good Shabbos, I would always say good Shabbos. I was a troublemaker. I'd say good Shabbos. What good Vach? There's no Zman like that. It was before any Zman. And not only that, the wives were already waiting with the cars, to pick up their husbands, because we have to shower, we have a... You know, it's a 722. 722 is waiting for us, or whatever it is. We have to go to New Jersey because the gang is getting together. We're going to play cards or whatever we're going to do. So of course they're waiting. Shabbos is dragging out. Shabbos is dragging out. But when a Jew lives Shabbos like this, you can't tear yourself away from it. What do you mean? Achastiv le'arpenu. You can't let go of such a Shabbos. V'lu yadata. If you would only know. If you could only know, if you could only be reassured that this could remain, you could stay like this. Yom Shekula Shabbos Menucha. You could stay like this. Ki oz hoisa nafshecha smecha simchas oilam. Then you would be the happiest person in the world if you could always be Shabbos. You'd be the happiest person in the world. Alvin is karta, but you unfortunately, he says, you're reminded. Shabbaid rega yadliko neiris. That in another minute they're going to light the candles. It's going to be Tavdil. There's going to be Havdalah. V'shuv tipol yimaisachol, and you have to fall back into the 6 days of the week. V'nafshecha marulecha. In America, people look forward to Sunday. Rav Shom Shadron used to call Sunday Shabbos Sheni Shel Golius. So people think Sunday is even higher madrega. Sunday, I don't have to spend 2.5 hours in shul. It's even a bigger madrig. It's a bigger menucha than Shabbos, right? God forbid. Shabbos Sheni Shel Golius. V'shuv tipol yimaisachol, you fall back into the 6 days. V'nafshecha marulach, and your soul becomes embittered. Eich tipol, next page, min choshech shamayim arpalei toyer. How could you fall from that dark place that you were in, meaning a good place, the darkness with Hashem, in the cloud? Arpele toyer, the clouds, the holy mist and clouds, the choshech Mitzrayim. You're falling from the choshech of Kel Mestata, of Hashem who was hidden, into what? Into the darkness of Mitzrayim. Into the darkness of Mitzrayim, which is lit up. Our Mitzrayim is lit up. Our Mitzrayim has a lot of lights. A lot of lights. The choshech Mitzrayim. Cheshkesh Atzaris. The darkness of your personal, of your tzaris, of your difficulties. Tzaris aguf anefesh gam yachad, the tzaris of your body, physical tzaris and spiritual tzaris, the 6 days of the week. So what happens is tirad vitargish. You begin to tremble and you feel this. Eshtein atamargish ato. Now you feel both of these feelings. Keitz hayomin v'keitz hayomin. Mimrom kitzah shel kedusha v'keitz namicha shel achol. That moment before Havdalah, that moment when Shalosh Shudas is ending, you're stuck between two worlds. You're stuck between the highest of the highest between that the Roim HaMailas, the greatest level of Kedusha, and between the depths of the 6 days of the week, and you're at that moment in between. These two types of darkness, meaning the type that one darkness that is the darkness of Hashem's presence, the mystery, and the second type of darkness, which is the pashat of the darkness of this world. These are the two that are struggling within you. These two kaiches are within you, are pushing back and forth within you, shalasudas. Moshele ben Melech, this can be compared to a prince. Shenigzer olav laharchika me'al aviv, a gzeira, there was a decree that he has to go away from his father from the palace. Ulashlichel elasayer, and it was decreed that he has to be thrown into jail, into the prison. Oz beregah ha'achrayna, that last moment. Kaidim shenifrad me'aviv, before he is separated from his father. Mekarev who was Atzma Yoselov, the last moment before they pull him away, he pushes himself closer to his father. Doichekum Miskarev, he pushes to get near. Oichezum Mischabek, he grabs hold of his father and hugs him. Misaneg, he's filled with pleasure. Umiskageya, and in the same moment of feeling that delight of being close, he's filled with a terrible longing because he knows that in a moment he's going to be so far away. And from this mixed, crazy mixed feeling of terrible delight and of fear, the soul screams out mimamakim from the depths. Gam ki elich begeit salmoves, even though I have to walk through that place, that valley of death, of darkness, meaning the 6 days of the week. Le'ira ra Hashem, I won't be afraid of what happens in the 6 days of the week, of that darkness. Because I believe that you're going to stay with me. Hayadayim, he says, kimat royadois mechapsois. The hands, he says, are almost actually physically trembling and shaking and searching, groping in the darkness. Ata imadi, you are ata imadi, to say over and over again, ki ata imadi, you are still with me. Achastiv loyapenu, I hold on to him, and I hold on to you, Hashem. I won't let go of you in the 6 days. So the Rebbe says, "Estakel v'hizboinein." He says, "Look at this. Think about this. He calls ze oive benafshecha. All of this is happening within you. This is something that's happening within you. You're a Jew. You're a prince. So all of this is happening within you. Rakata layis benanta. You just didn't think about it." You didn't think about it and you didn't know. If you would really have thought about it, if you would really know, it has to make an impression that lasts with you throughout the week. It's true, you would say that this type of hisbeinanus, this type of meditation, is already enough. But if you would be the kind of a Jew that would be able to stop and to think about all those little tremors, those little emotions that so quickly pass through you, if you would stop the frame of the film and consider it, you'd be able to see all different levels of malachim that are passing through your own heart and your own soul. This would be enough. Just the shalashudas would be enough to make you into a person who's a isha ruach, a person of ruach, of spirit. Or bal machshava tahir, a person who's able to be a ben machshava tahir, a person of pure thoughts. She is galabacha machshava ilah, that there will be revealed within you this profound, this great machshava. That you don't realize to see, rakedusha, only holiness, viruchnius, and spirituality, ukvayd Hashem shemaloich ala aretz, and the glory of Hashem that fills the entire world. Avol kevan, however, he says shahar bechushim, since there are many chushim of your senses, v'yicholias, yeshnam oid biyish Yisrael. There are many, many chushim and yicholias. There are many. There's much potential within you. In other words, it's not only shalashudas. There's much more. There are many other chushim, many other things that you can sense. And you have much more of Yechayla is much more of a capacity to feel this Kedusha. Veskulam Sarachu Lahaitzi L'Hashem. Not just Shal Shuvus. I'm giving you just a sampling. All of these, any time that there's a feeling, an emotion, something that can be drawn out and can be used to connect to Hashem. U'b'chol Evari Nafshay Tzorechu L'Chabik Oysi Yisbarach. And you have to embrace Hashem with every limb of your soul. L'kach, therefore, Nedaber Gam Hola, I'm going to discuss this further in Yitzhah Hashem. Mechoyvais ve'emtsoi b'nei machshavet tahira, the ways, the means that b'nei machshavet tahira, the Jews who are seeking to come to this level of machshavet tahira, that even during the week. Yeah, I know, but I just replaced it. I read that, but I said, I'm just saying the name of the kuntris and his chever was b'nei machshavet tahira. So I'm saying that there are ways that these people who want to be part of the b'nei machshavet tahira can connect to that machshavet tahira within them. Even during the 6 days of the week, they could have a shaychus, they could have a way of, as we said, there's a way to bring this about, to use different kaychus and different exercises to be able to connect even during the 6 days of the week, to be able to have a shaychus to that picture that the Rebbe was just describing. If you look in the Chavrus HaTalmidim, he has three mamarim in the back of Chavrus HaTalmidim. There are three discourses in the back of Chavrus HaTalmidim. They're unbelievable. The three mamarim, which the Rebbe himself said they don't really belong here, but they were included in the Chavrus HaTalmidim. And he has one there on Shabbos. He has a mamar there on Shabbos. It's in English. You can look at it. And there he talks about the feeling of when you're saying Eishes Chayil Friday night. I'm telling you, you have to scrape your brains and your heart off the walls after you read it. When the Rebbe said Eishes Chayil, he's not even giving. Do you think when he was writing this, you know what he was doing? He was giving you a little bit of a glimpse of himself, right? This is, who do you think this was? It was himself. You read there, what was a Friday night? Was an Eishes Chayil? What was an Eishes Chayil when he said Eishes Chayil? What he was thinking about, the Shechina and the Jewish people and the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, you have to see it. We have to learn it. Remind me that we'll learn it together, Mitzvah Hashem, afterwards. What's a machshava for Shabbos? How to come into a Shabbos? What a Neishas Chal means, what a Lachad Daidi, what it means, to understand, to connect to the Ari HaKadosh and the Talmidim in Tzvas when they went out to be Mekabel Shabbos by the fields outside of Tzvas. We need to understand this. No, the Baruch Hashem should give us the time, and the koyach hamayach and v'halev that we should be able not only to learn about these things, but we should be able to taste of these things and to experience these things and to change our lives and the lives of our children and our grandchildren.